As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey everybody, Scott Burnside back with another edition of Two Man Advantage, the podcast. We are rolling into the offseason, emerging from the draft, and now dipping our toe into free agency, which begins Friday afternoon. I know that Pierre LeBrun is anxious to tape this podcast. You're busy, so you don't mean just to ramble on. You don't want to soliloquy. You want to get right to it, do you?
Let's go. I ignored everything you just said, but let's chat on the eve of free agent frenzy, as TSN has coined it for many years. I tell you, it's such a different feeling for obvious reasons. You know, usually this would be June 30th, and I've just had it. Like, I've been at it for 10 months, and I could see my cottage on the other side of our show ending at TSN on July 1st, and my friends who come to my cottage every year for July 1st weekend, they know I show up, I go straight from the TSN studio, I drive up to 400, still in my suit and full makeup on, and I show up to the cottage and someone hands me a drink as I walk up to my deck. It's a tradition like none other. And sometimes I just don't take my suit off the entire night at the cottage. But none of that. It's just another day at the office on Friday. You know, it is Canadian Thanksgiving, but it's you know, it doesn't feel like there's something on the other side of the rainbow. And in fact, this is something I wanted to ask you about, but in my conversations with agents and teams, you know, tomorrow, I don't think tomorrow's a, all right, everything's figured out, see you next year. I think we're going to have a dragged out offseason. I think that while we're obviously going to have some big stories, obviously, on the first day of free agency, I think that we're going to have other signings and trades throughout October, November, and December in my mind.
Yes, I'm with you. And you jumped right in. You started, I wanted to start the podcast by saying there was no truth to the rumor that round 7 of the NHL draft was still going on. So I wanted to get that in there.
I'm not going to lie. I stopped watching way before the end of that. But as you know, the draft is not my niche.
No, it's not. Oh, my God. 8 hours. But my point in bringing that up is that I spent the draft, I wanted to say weekend, but it's not a weekend, but the 3 days around the draft in Raleigh. I'm actually still in Raleigh as we're chatting. So the Canes were great. They let me sit in on their pro scouting meetings on Monday night, and then the draft first round on Tuesday, and then the 8 hours of the second day yesterday. But to your point, Pierre, and I agree with you, and you hear the number of calls that are, you know, coming into a team like the Carolina Hurricanes, whether it's Don Waddell or Paul Kropelka, the assistant GM, and the number of calls that are going out. So you know there's lots of activity, but definitely I think there is a feeling out process because, and you sort of asked me this, and I'll ask it back to you. My sense is that's because people still are very uncertain of what the marketplace is. You know, what's the value? Mm-hmm. What's the value of a UFA, you know, I mean, we know some of the top names, Pietrangelo, Torrey Krug, even Taylor Hall, I think. Okay, so what is the value? And so to your point, I'm with you. Like last year, I think like 85, maybe 90% of the prominent UFAs were all locked up, right? They'd had the visit period and they could communicate. And it really, at the end of July 1st, it was like, okay, great. See you next year, like you said. But do you think it is the marketplace, or what is it, the cap space and the marketplace? I mean, why do you think it might be drawn out?
Yeah, I think there's, you touched on a bunch of factors. By the way, was Tom Dunn wearing a tracksuit the whole time?
Yes, of course, like, he was.
Oh, yes. Just like at Board of Governor meetings. I love it.
Yeah, no,
so he, perfect. So that's now his thing. That's his thing for good now, I guess.
Yeah, no, it was good. Well, and we were in set up in the Canes locker room. It was great. They had great food and they had cameras.
So how come I didn't see you on those shots, those team shots? I guess I was staring at the guys at the head of the table.
Well, it's a tight shot, but I was literally about 5 feet from Don Waddell, and then I was right there. I didn't feel it was to like photo bomb them. Is that what they call that when you walk there? I didn't think that was right.
I can't wait to read that story. When's it coming out?
I don't know. I better write it.
Jeez, get at it, buddy. I don't remember what you asked.
No, the marketplace.
I mean, the marketplace. I mean, it's one of a kind. It's unprecedented. And I think agents and teams are still arguing, as I sense from my conversation with them. I'm sort of almost the in-between guy about what the market should be. Like, I don't think it'll affect Alex Pietrangelo. I mean, Alex Pietrangelo is going to get his no matter what, because he's such a game changer. And I think to some degree, Torrey Krug should be okay, because he's such a dynamic power play quarterback and puck mover 5-on-5. I think he'll get his. But, and then with Taylor Hall, I think Taylor Hall will have the AAV. I wonder if term will be an issue for him. He will end up getting a long-term offer somewhere, but I don't know that he'll get as many long-term offers as you normally would in a normal year. If that makes any sense for a player of his stature, but we'll see. I mean, that's what's interesting about it. It's interesting. I think that I shouldn't say. I think I know that he's just planning on doing with his agent Darren Ferris. They're gonna set up Zoom calls with the teams that they've decided to talk to Friday and beyond. And I say and beyond, maybe he doesn't decide the first day, which will be a new twist to all this, right? Without the speaking period. That he needs time to think things through and balance the different offers. Whereas I think a guy like Alex Pietrangelo, from what I hear, if there are teams that he's interested in that actually want to fly him in the States anyway, I mean, he can't really come home to Toronto because he would have to quarantine because he's in St. Louis. And that's if the Leafs, in fact, make an offer. We think they will. But let's say a Florida or a Vegas invite him to come and talk in person, he might do that potentially. I'm not sure he will for sure. Right. But if he does, there's another delay in maybe the number one free agent on the market as far as making his decision. So that's what I mean. This will be an interesting year that, maybe it goes to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with some of these guys. I don't know. Or maybe they'll just decide 5 minutes in and this was all... they all had us thinking for nothing. I don't know, but that's what I mean. It's different than other years. And on top of it, again, the NHL had a Board of Governors meeting, a call on Monday this week, Scotty. And I think that some governors came out of that call with like, whoa, that was quite the forecast from the league about what, next year looks like. So I think everyone's bracing for what this is, with the uncertainty of what next year will look like and how it's going to crush revenues, and how maybe they shouldn't be spending like drunken sailors over the next couple of days. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, I want to circle back to that in a bit, because of course the whatever forecast there is for when next season might start has certainly changed a little bit, as we assumed it would. But I want to touch on that later. But I thought you raise a good point about what happens on Friday, and I think we saw some of this yesterday. And I think of Nashville trading Nick Bedino to Minnesota, preparing to buy out Kyle Turris.
What do you think of that?
Well, and you and I've talked about this, and I talked to a scout not long ago who was like, keep an eye on Taylor Hall in Nashville. Because, of course, when Taylor Hall won the Hart Trophy, he played for John Hines in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. John Hines now the coach. And we know, David Poile, the GM in Nashville, has been very candid, right? He wants to change. That team's the team's lost its way, right? I mean, they've been in decline since going to the final in 17, and this is, you know, there's some changes that need to be made there, so whether it's Taylor Hall or not, that this looks like, okay, David Poile getting his ducks in a row to swing big like he always does, and so that happened. And you still have teams, though, that still have issues outstanding if they're going to make similar swings, right? Like what happens with Vegas, who still have $12 million in goaltending right now with Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury. And what happens to them in order to, you know, they've been linked to Alex Pietrangelo as well. So what happens to them? And I wonder, is there still some of that, okay, in order for us to do A, we first need to do B, C, and D?
Yeah, so let's go around the merry-go-round here. So you mentioned Nashville. As I wrote in my latest rumblings Wednesday, I never know what day it is, but today's Thursday, so yesterday was Wednesday, and I wrote about, I believe that that's why Nashville was clearing the decks a bit, that they will, I think they will reach out to the Taylor Hall camp, but we'll see if they even get into the Zoom Derby, right? I mean... Because I think what's going to happen is you're going to have more teams that reach out to Darren Ferris, the agent, but only a select few get to do the Zoom pitch.
Yep.
So we'll see if Nashville is able to get in there. But, you know, that would be fun. You know, Matt Duchene and Taylor Hall in the same line. And but, again, there'll be other teams in there. And I mentioned the possibility of Columbus. And I wouldn't be shocked if Edmonton tried to bring him back where he started his career on a short-term deal, which, again, probably won't be something that Darren Ferris will want to recommend for his client to do a short-term deal at this point in his career. But I think there'll be a lot of different types of approaches to Taylor Hall. You bang on with Vegas. Vegas is the story of the next 48 hours for me. So you have the big three right now that are desperately trying to move money. You got Vegas, Tampa Bay, and the Islanders. When I talk to other teams, there's no one making more calls than those three teams trying to find ways and avenues to move money. But Vegas isn't a real jam because, you know, they've got a disgruntled goalie in Marc-Andre Fleury that may or may not want to play ball, let's be honest. I mean, he's got a modified no-trade clause, and don't think that he's thrilled with how all this played out. And you know, he can't control everything. If they trade him to a team that's not on his list, then that's it. But I don't know what the appetite would be to waive for a team that is on his list, for example. And I don't know that. I'm just putting that out there.
Sure.
So that certainly is there. And on top of that, I do know through sources that, and other people have reported this as well, including our own Frank Saravelli at TSN, that part of what Vegas is trying to do is bring in a third team to absorb some of Fleury's cap hit, which will cost Vegas an asset, and then move Fleury to the actual team where he would play for. So it adds a layer of complexity to it all. But that's not even just enough. Moving Fleury is not going to cure all if you're trying to sign Alex Pietrangelo or make other moves. You actually have to move more money than that. So that's why you're hearing names like, you know, Alec Martinez, even Nate Schmidt's name is out there a bit. You know, Paul Stastny potentially, because he has a year left on his deal. I mean, these are all, you know, Marchesso, who knows if someone convinced him to trade Pacioretty, because they know Vegas has to move money. And so they are fascinating. Now, keep in mind, and I know that Tampa internally has talked about this, you're allowed to go over the cap by 10% right up until the puck drops next January. So being cap compliant does not mean you have to be cap compliant by Friday. It means you have to be cap compliant by January 1st. So, by you know, you're allowed to go over 10%. So it could be that there are moves made Friday where, you know, where by the end of the day Friday, Tampa and Vegas are above the cap, but have 3 months to figure it out, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, yeah, it does. And you're absolutely right, because some, you know, with a player like Marc-Andre Fleury, who has 2 years left at $7 million, it's not just, you know, teams are lining up. And I still think Marc-Andre Fleury still has, you know, gas in the tank, and certainly will be motivated if he, you know, wherever he goes, because I think he'll play with a chip on his shoulder. But there's no way you're moving him unless Vegas is prepared to either eat salary on that end or take on something else, and that sort of defeats the purpose, which is, as you point out, it's why there may be, another third team to, that might be looking to get to the floor and could, can take on some salary. But it's not an easy thing to just say, well, all you got to do is trade Marc-Andre Fleury and, make another move, and then you can, swim with the big boys. So,
well, you were in the Carolina room. I know through my own reporting that the Hurricanes have talked to Vegas about Fleury. What can you share there, big guy? Oh, wait, you're not allowed. Okay.
Well, no, I can tell you that, I think it's, Carolina's like a lot of teams. Because the goaltending market is so robust, right? And there's the other issue for Vegas, right? If there were two or three elite goaltenders out there, okay, maybe this becomes an easier thing. There's like a dozen goaltenders who might provide you an upgrade or might solve some of your problems, right? I think this is fair that Carolina said this. I think they like Peter Mrazek and James Reimer. I know a lot of people outside believe you can't win a cup or don't believe it's likely you can win a cup with that duo, but it's...
They don't believe it either.
Yeah,
they can't say it. They can't say it, but they know they can't win a cup with that particular duo. I think they can win a cup with one of those two guys and an upgrade.
Yeah, well, and yes. And listen, I don't know that you can't win with those two guys. We just saw Anton Khudobin take the Dallas Stars to within... 3 wins of a Stanley Cup. So I just don't think...
Speaking of which, I have an update there.
Yeah, okay. So my point is that the goaltending market is very robust. There are lots of teams still sort of figuring it out. But I want to hear about Anton Khudobin. But I thought it was interesting that one of those goaltenders, of course, Matt Murray going to Ottawa. And I thought Jim Rutherford probably didn't get as much as he initially had hoped, but he got ahead of free agency opening in moving Matt Murray. I'm with you, and I think you said this on social media. I really like that fit. I think the Sens are such an interesting team. I think they have the potential to, I don't know whether accelerate's the right word, but I think they're going to be a team that might be playing meaningful games into, game 60 or whatever, if you play 82 games. I like what they've done. And I think Matt Murray, the reset will be good for him there. And I think, if he works on some technical stuff there, I think that's a good fit for Ottawa. And obviously it was important for Pittsburgh to move on from Matt Murray with Tristan Jarry signing there.
Yeah. But in typical Senators fashion, they couldn't just ride the wave of positivity from their draft and from trading Matt Murray essentially for a second round pick, which was a perfect gamble for Ottawa. I mean, really good trade for them to bet on a 26-year-old goalie bouncing back. But they had to end the day with the news that they, for some reason, didn't qualify 23 goal scorer Anthony Duclair. And I say for some reason, I mean, there's some, I don't want to get into it, but obviously it's an interesting story. Anthony Duclair, who represented himself in talks with the Senators, formerly with Kent Hughes and that firm, and I think just wanted to take ownership of his. I mean, good for him.
Sure.
Wanted to, but now I don't know if he anticipated this or not. Now he's, if he continues to represent himself, has to have his, I guess, make sure the NHLPA sends his cell phone out to all 30 teams.
Exactly.
All the 30 other, because he doesn't have an agent, so it's kind of. It's kind of interesting what it's going to be like for him. But anyway, the Senators, obviously took a pounding from their fans for that decision. And listen, it's not overstated. It's not like, we know that Anthony Duclair only scored twice after Christmas, one being in an empty net. Not the greatest defensive player, but at the end of the day, he's a good player who skates like the wind, can score. He's seemingly had figured things out on their DJ Smith. Something to work with there. And I think what's happening here is the Senators were worried about his arbitration case. So that's why they didn't qualify him. And maybe they turn around and find a way to sign him over the next couple of days.
Right.
But I'll agree to disagree with the with Pierre Dorion on that one, who, by the way, had a pretty good week overall, Pierre Dorion. But on that this particular case, I think I would have qualified him.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at Fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Right. But, and there were a lot, though. Like, that was interesting. And I'm not forgetting about Anton Hudobin. I want to circle back to that. But
the
QO, you know, there were a number of players, I think, around the NHL where you were like, oh, really? Like, I don't watch every single Vancouver game, but, you know, Troy Stetcher, for me, at one point, you know, sort of would have considered him a, you know, a part of that young Canucks team moving forward, not provided a qualifying offer. Dominic Cahoon, you mentioned Anthony DeClaire. And I wonder if this is just a function of what we, you know, what everyone is facing with this, with the uncertainty and, with the cap and the marketplace.
Athanasiou in Edmonton, there's some interesting ones for sure. Evan Rodriguez, who the Leafs acquired as part of, you know, that cap and going to Pittsburgh. Of course, what they really acquired was the first-round pick and getting cap space. But in speaking to Rodriguez's agent, Peter Fish, yesterday, I mean, there was a lot of back and forth with the Leafs about signing a deal that would have been less than the QO and having Rodriguez have a chance. But they've decided, let's go to market and keep the door open for Toronto. But that's a risk for both sides at this point. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Vancouver. That's tough because Tetcher's such a Canuck. I mean, that franchise matters so much to him personally. And you kind of hate seeing it, but you understand. Vancouver's got a lot of balls up in the air. They're still in dialogue with Markstrom. They're in that bizarre trade triangle with Boston and Arizona on OEL. They'd like to sign Toffoli. And despite reports this week that he was definitely headed to market, I mean, certainly it's likely he's headed to market, but the door's not closed. Like, Vancouver's still, if all things can work out here over the next 24 hours, would still like to circle back to Toffoli, I think. So there's a lot going on there. Tanev, who never gets talked about outside of the Vancouver market. I mean, people in Vancouver know how important Tanev was, but, you know, he did a lot for Quinn Hughes, right? And so he's UFA. So there's all these things, and Vancouver's still getting hammered by the Luongo cap recapture penalty. and it's not, you know, it's difficult. So I feel for Jim Benning and that Canucks front office, because there's some tough decisions that are coming.
Yeah. All right. Anton Hudobin, you've got a little teaser. So now all the Anton Hudobin fans are still listening, going, well, okay, let us in on Dobby.
Yeah. So the Stars have really tried to sign him. And as I reported last night, I mean, their last offer just isn't cutting it right now. Now, I say their last offer. Is there such a thing as a last offer? But I think it was presented that way. It's still below the number that would make Hudobin and his camp comfortable. So the question today, being Thursday, the eve of free agency, is whether does the Hudobin camp come back with their own number, or do they just say, you know what, we're going to go to market, but we'll keep the door open for you guys. And you'll hear a lot of that, the whole door open thing. That used to be kind of a fake thing, because it was really, pardon my French, it was really a fuck you, I'm gone. But I think actually in 2020 with the pandemic NHL market, it's actually real in a lot of cases. It really is. I'll give you another example. It's like Mike Hoffman in Florida. They've had very civil conversations. Bill Zito, the new GM, with the agent for Mike Hoffman is Rob Hooper. And it's been very cordial. It's just Florida has to move money before it can make Hoffman a legit offer. And if it doesn't happen today, then he will head to market, but yet he will circle back to Florida. Like, that's legit. Like, that's not for PR. And I think the same thing will happen with Dallas and Hudobin, that if they don't, and again, they could figure everything out today. That's why I'm saying you never know what happens today. But let's say they don't, and he does, and the market does open tomorrow. There might be a realization on both sides, both in terms of what Dallas looking at their other goalie options, and both in terms of Hudobin and his agent Kent Hughes realizing, okay, maybe what we thought was there isn't, and then they come back to each other. You never know. So it really is. the whole circling back is going to be fascinating on with a number of UFAs and their respective teams.
Yeah. Well, and again, we you touch on that goaltending marketplace, and it's just, you know, we know with Brian Elliott staying in Philadelphia, we know Matt Murray now in Ottawa. Henrik Lundqvist bought out, of course, with the Rangers, and every indication is that he will sign with Washington, which I like.
Yeah.
I like that fit. Yeah. Don't you? Do you like it? Like, it'll be weird, obviously, to see him throw on that cap, and especially given all their playoff battles, right? I mean, that's going to be weird, but I like that fit. And, there's sort of been a reset now with the Caps, right? With Peter Laviolette coming in, if Lundqvist comes in and, as a mentor and support system for Samsonov, I like that fit.
Yeah, that team is all about the Laviolette effect.
Yeah.
It's not about moves with the roster. It really is about, I think that Brian McClellan, by the end of the return to play, was like, I don't like the vibe here with these guys, and we need to mix it up here and remind everyone that 2018 now is a bit past, right? So that's what fascinating to me is how Laviolette gains the attention of this room and how they react to him. That's going to be a big story next year. Whenever there is next year.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, I want to wrap things up here because, you're a busy man. You got things to do. But there are two things I want to touch on before we go, and you can pick whichever one you want to start with. But I'm so fascinated with the Max Domi trade to Columbus for Josh Anderson. Mm-hmm. Both have the same agent. Really kind of interesting stuff there. It's like selling a house and having both ends of it if you're a real estate agent, right? Yeah.
Get both buddies.
Yeah.
Both London Knights buddies, Domi and Anderson. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think Josh Anderson is such an interesting guy because, miserable, injury-plagued year, really difficult for a really good guy. But when he's on his game, and we saw this a couple of years ago, he is an absolute beast. He is one of those rare, big punishing, very fast, great shot, and all of a sudden Montreal is like looking like, sort of, they remind me a bit of Washington from, they get that size and speed, and they're not going to be pushed around in Montreal if Anderson gets back.
Yeah, and listen, of course, Mark Bergman took a risk with, all indications, and Josh Anderson has said that his shoulder is fully healed, but, staying healthy will be the big gamble there with Josh Anderson. But I love the gamble. I would have made this trade all day long, frankly, if I was either GM, because it wasn't going to work contract-wise with Columbus. So, and believe me when I say the Blue Jackets got a ton of interest for Josh Anderson. Like, there were other offers on the table. So, Mark Bergevin really found the right fit by saying, these other teams might be offering you X or X, but are they offering you a number two center, which I am? And so one of those trades that just made so much sense, I think. And if Anderson is healthy and goes back to being the player from 2 years ago, my goodness, such a tonic for what the Canadiens needed up front. They were just too small. And I just think it's totally worth the gamble. And they're not done. I mean, as I've reported all week, I think they're going to call Wayne Simmonds' agent Friday. They won't be alone, and they won't want to pay him a whole lot. So at the end of the day, they may not get him. But it's still an indication of where Mark Bergevin's mind is at, right? If he's wanting to add another big guy. And I think he's not alone. Like, Kyle Dubas' declarations this week, right, with the Toronto media about being harder to play against, and I hope to fix that in free agency and trades. That's a departure, right, for him. That's... that's maybe watching Tampa tweak their roster and seeing again the way the playoffs have played out. I mean, Dallas is a tougher team than Dallas with all their skill and their physical attributes. I think the league, it's not that it's copycat, it's that, you know, the Blues won the cup in a certain way too. Like, he just, you know, Brian McClellan said it best to me in an interview in the Q&A last year. I think you need a team for the regular season and then you need a team for the playoffs. I think he said it best. And the nuance being that come playoff time, the rule book's not called the same. I don't care what anyone says. It just becomes more of a grind. You know, Corey Perry went from basically invisible during the regular season with Dallas, right, to being a player again in the playoffs because of the type of hockey that it requires for you to go deep in the playoffs. So I think that the smart front offices are figuring out you need, you know, to me, you need the best analytics department you can have. You want the most advanced metrics you can to make the best sound decision you can. But you have to assemble what you hope is an incredible puck possession core skill team with these other elements, these sandpaper elements that come through come playoff time. You want a balance. It's not about one or the other. It's about both. And obviously Tampa proved that winning the cup. And you're seeing the effect of that already in this offseason with some of the decisions from teams.
Yeah, no question. All right. And perfect circling back to our final topic of the day. You mentioned the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was fascinating to see Bob McKenzie's tweet, and I know you are all over this as well, but there's a very small core of players on that roster that GM Julien Brisebois considers untouchable, and there's a longer list that are not considered untouchable, and that there was a ton of guys with no move, no trade clauses that, you know, could be approached, may have already been approached, about the possibility of going elsewhere. It's not a great spot for Julien Brisebois to be in, but I was fascinated by that list because apparently the name Steven Stamkos is not in that tiny group of will not move under any circumstances. And I wonder, right, you know, how, wow, you unpack that.
Yeah. That's up to him.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah, no, for sure.
The Steven Stamkos decision isn't up to Julien Brisebois. It's up to Steven Stamkos. But, Tyler Johnson's the guy they're working on right now. And J.P. Barrie, veteran agent, is working with Julien Brisebois on it. It's been, as far as I can tell, it's been cordial. So the Lightning caught a break there to some degree, that the Tyler Johnson camp is working with them, not against them. And so, you know, as of yesterday, I think they had 5 or 6 teams that they had given, and who knows if that list grows, but there's a sense of, hey, we get what you guys are up against. And as I wrote, I think on Monday, Scotty, I think deep down, and Tyler Johnson's not said this to anyone, but don't you think he wants to end up in Seattle? I mean, he's from Spokane, and, you know, does he go somewhere for a year and then does a team that gets him leave him unprotected for the Seattle draft? I don't know. It's interesting. And does Ron Francis want him? I mean, there's a lot of ifs here, but it'd be kind of neat to see him part of that original Seattle team. So I think they'll figure something out on Tyler Johnson. Obviously, the Stamkos situation, no one close to him is saying a word. I just find it, so there's a couple things I find. I'm not saying it's impossible. Obviously, it is. I mean, they just won a cup essentially without him playing for them. So you,
sure.
And they've got major cap issues. I mean, and I know it's delicate. It's delicate because he's incredibly popular. He's their captain, but he really is their captain. Like, he's an incredible voice in that room and everyone looks up to him. He's also the king of Tampa. I don't mean the king of the Lightning. I mean the king of Tampa. Like, he's just so ingrained in that community.
Yes.
He took less to sign there. Let's not forget that. I mean, he signed for 8.5 in Tampa when he could have got $11 million a year in Buffalo or Toronto. And he's got a full no move. So A, where's his heart at? And no one has any indication of that. But B, and I say this with all due respect to a guy that I hope comes back and scores 40 goals a year for the rest of his career. Are we convinced that there's a bunch of teams that would line up for him right now, given his health? Like, there's 4 years left at $8.5 million a year. So my point is, even if he wanted to waive, are we sure there's a spot?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not saying there wouldn't be. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah. Well, and yes, because you got a lot of things to consider. It's not, is there a team that would be willing to take on that salary given the uncertainty over his health? will he go there, right? As you point out, this is all Steven Stamkos. Doesn't matter what anyone else wants. He right. doesn't have to do anything. He can stay there. So let me ask you in closing then, no matter how professional, and listen, no one is more upfront and like Julian Breezeborough may be one of the classiest guys in the game. I don't think that's overstating. There's incredible respect for how he has handled all the things that have gone on in Tampa. It doesn't matter how well you handle this situation. Once you can't unhear this idea, would you consider leaving? Or can you? Like, as I wonder what...
I think it's fair to point out, we don't know 100% that conversation has happened. We just kind of... There's sort of a smoke... Is there smoke, there's fire
right.
vibe to all this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does... And, you know, and the reason I raise it is that we saw... You know, with Patrick Hornquist, obviously different player at different stage of his career, but, you know, Patrick Hornquist, you know, didn't have to leave Pittsburgh. But, you know, my sense of it is once Jim Rutherford sort of broached the idea, Patrick was like, well, if you don't want me, well, okay, yeah, I'm going to go to Florida. I hope to win a Stanley Cup. And
That was not his first answer, but he eventually got he eventually got himself there after reading the room. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think... See, to me, Hornquist is more the Tyler Johnson comparison. Tyler right. Johnson has a full no trade and is going to end up working with Tampa here. That's more like Hornquist. I think Stamkos is different because he's so important to that franchise.
Right.
That is just so sensitive and delicate. That's just different to me. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
I mean,
they may have to end up moving guys they don't want to move. And, you know, Alex Killorn is a great example of a guy that I know the Lightning have, and I think they even told his camp, you know, we're the last resort because he's the guy with the modified as opposed to the full no trade, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, if we're a week away from puck drop in January and they're still over the cap, you know, there might be some tough decisions.
All right. You got work to do. Free agency begins tomorrow. I can't wait to see where we're at when you and I talk next week. Mm-hmm. You have done yeoman work so far. I'm a little disappointed you weren't glued to the TV for the 8 hours of the second day of the draft, but I'll cut you a little slack there, pal. But you should also check out, as you're waiting for the market to open, check out Craig Custance, who welcomes former NHL GM Brian Burke to the Frohl 60. But I think Brian's got a new book out, right? This is a new book his life in hockey, which is interesting. Plus, a bonus episode of the full 60 with Scott Wheeler, Corey Promen. I don't know if those guys ever sleep, right? Like, churn out about 10,000 words a copy on draft prospects over the last 72 hours. But anyway, they take time to join Craig on the full 60. What else? Mike Russo, joined by the Athletic Scott Wheeler, again, not sleeping, to recap the Wilds draft, but they also are going to chat with Marco Rossi, a kid that everyone seems to love a ton. He's first round pick of the Wild. You should check out our comments section for each podcast episode at the Athletic app and rate and subscribe to Two Man Advantage on Apple. And if you are not a subscriber to The Athletic, well, shame on you. But anyway, you can rectify that by subscribing now and saving. Go to theathletic.com/two-man-advantage. You can receive an all-access subscription for just $1 a month. Pierre, if that was $1 Canadian, it'd be like, what, about 35 cents U.S. It'd be a real bargain if you can get it for $1 Canadian.
As an aside, our good friend Joey Mack tweeted the other day about Bruce Cassidy becoming an American citizen, and I
yes.
felt like saying, "Has Bruce Cassidy read the room?" Conversation for another day.
Another day. Anyway, good work.
Having watched the vice president's debate last night, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, let's leave it at that. Anyway, pal, listen, good luck to you and as free agency arrives. I know you're going to be crazy busy, but this was a ton of fun. Good work by you, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, I can't wait to read your Carolina story, buddy. Sounds good.
All right, man. Take care.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.